Heavenly Father, thank you for just watching over us always. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this opportunity to share your wonderful and precious word. It is such a light in our lives. I can't imagine living without it. We need your light. We need your guidance. We need your love. We need you every day. We need your help every day. Lord, you've seen this week. You've seen our lives. You've heard our thoughts. You know the intents of our heart. So Lord, help us today. Speak to our hearts. Encourage us. Strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I titled the message, Finding the Perfect Church. Did any of you find the perfect church yet? Do you think a perfect church exists? Not in this side of heaven. Not on this side of heaven. And if you are still looking for a perfect church, and when you do find it, it will no longer be perfect. Did you catch it? Because we're not perfect. We're all made very uniquely different. And God wanted it that way. He made it so that way. All look differently. We all dress differently. We all have different colors today. Can you imagine if we all would have wore the same color today? If you all would have worn white, oh, I probably shouldn't go there. We are all unique. God made us so. No, there's no perfect churches and there's no perfect people. But we should never use this as an excuse for giving up on church. Some people have, because they haven't found the exact church that they were looking for, they decide to just stay home. You think that's a good option? I can tell you I would not trade places with them for $1 million. Because you see, each and every one of us someday will stand before the Lord and will give an account of our life. Each one of us. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, Hebrews says, as a matter of some is. And then even the more so as you see the day approaching. What day? The day when Jesus will come back. The day when he'll take his church. Even more so. But it seems even less so. Sometimes it seems even less so. Some settle in for just not going anywhere. You know what would offend me more if somebody left the church is when they stay home and don't go anywhere. That really upsets me. I'm hurt a little bit when people leave and go somewhere else, but I get over it. But I don't get over when people don't go anywhere. Because I really wonder what happened. What's going on in their life? Why did they choose not to gather with the family? This is our family. Can you imagine going through the things that we go through in life without a family? I wouldn't want to. I love my family. I miss my family when they're not here. My family prays for me. And I pray for them. It's nice to know that when you're going through things in life that you have a family that's behind you and is praying for you and is loving you and caring for you. And I'd miss that. And I love my family very much. And miss my family when I'm not here. God's view of the church is quite different, perhaps, than ours. Our view would be quite different if we would understand and appreciate the great cost that Christ paid to make us his bride. It cost the Father his Son. How high a cost do you think that would be if you lost your son? Would that be a high price to you? I think it would. And that's how God the Father feels about it. Do churches have problems? Yes, they do. They'll continue to have problems probably between now and when Jesus comes. Because we're just a bunch of imperfect people who have problems and are just trying to get through life as best that we can, trying to handle our problems and situations, try to be as good a Christians as we can, and that's what life is about, really. But life is really short, really short. Can you think? When you were 16, that someday you'd be 60? I want to tell you, when I was 16, I thought life drug. It dragged. Huh? When you were 15, 16, 17, it just seemed like life was just dragging. Dragging. Are you listening? Now I can't believe how fast a day goes. Huh? How quickly a day goes by. And that's how life is, so quickly. Yes, churches today have problems, but I can tell you that the Lord has given us many things to work with to help us to solve those problems. One of the best examples that we have in the scripture of a church that had lots of problems was the one at Corinth. Did you know that the apostles Paul had spent 18 months there working in that church, working on a foundation for them? After he left, of course, some problems erupted. And eventually they sent him a letter. And in the letter, they informed him of the divisions and the immorality and some of the other issues that was going on in the church. And our book of 1 Corinthians is Paul's response to that. In 1 Corinthians, he gives a response to the answers. And I can tell you that the answers to the church in his day are just as relevant to the church today as they were in his day. If we were going to try to trace one problem as being the root cause in churches, what do you think it is? Anybody, just give me some thoughts. Could be. What's the one cause? Let me give you a hint. In the book of Judges, the last chapter and the last verse is the root cause in every problem in every church. That's the root cause. One single root cause. Do you know what that scripture says? The book of Judges, last chapter, last verse. And every man did that which was right in their own eyes, for there was no king. Did you catch it? Aren't we in a position like that today in our government? Everybody wants to do what they want to do. And don't you tell me what to do. because I'm going to do my own thing. Pretty small world, isn't it? When the only thing you see is I. Put four mirrors around you. And that's what the problem is. When you only see yourself. You catch me? When you think you're the only one, that's important. That's the root cause of every church problem. Didn't think it was that simple, did you? Well, sin probably is the cause. Well, yeah, it involves sin. Selfishness. Selfish. Just selfish. Want to have it my way. Want to do it my way. I ain't interested in God's way. I'm interested in my way. That's the way I see it, and that's the way I'm doing it. So if you're not going with, I'll go by myself. Is that what Moses said? What did Moses say? Lord, if you're not going with, I ain't going either. Lord, wherever you go, I want to go. I don't want to be ahead of the Lord. I don't want to be behind the Lord. I want to be with the Lord. I want to walk with him. I don't want to walk ahead. I don't want to walk behind. I want to walk with him. So the root cause was an independent attitude. Selfishness. And the result was a chaotic church. A church that lacked unity and love. Many in the church were charting their own course, refusing to submit to one another, and especially to God. They began to listen to false apostles. They adopted all sorts of other kinds of beliefs and practices to the point to where they had just nothing but a mess. And there's a lot of churches like that today. They're a mess. Churches today seem to be becoming social institutions instead of a place for spiritual, to get help spiritually. We have a week that drains us from many things from us, and we need to come and we need to be encouraged and strengthened. We do so by through prayer, praise, worship, reading God's word, doing the things that God designed us to do. So if you're with me, we'll be looking at chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. You can turn there a while. While you're turning there, the Apostle Paul addresses their independent spirits. And so he there describes the church the way that God sees it. God sees it as one body with many parts. And they differ in many ways, but they still work together to function for the whole. And we are the whole. We are the body of Christ here on earth. We are his head, his hands, his feet. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he left his church to carry out his work. And we are his hands and feet as we follow his will. The Lord is our head. He reveals his mind through his word. And his spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us to interpret it. And so the problem comes when we decide to follow our own ideas, our own agendas, instead of listening to our head. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 talks about what kind of attitude we're to have. And it says there in Philippians 2, 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. How's that? Treat other people more importantly than yourself. Now, you see, the world's philosophy, exactly the opposite. You're more important than anybody else. You owe it to yourself. So go out and buy that product. That will only leave you poor and empty. But the world says you owe it to yourself. The Bible says deny yourself. The world says you owe it to yourself. This was the attitude. The attitude that Christ displayed when he humbled himself and he came to earth as a servant and died on the cross to save us. Philippians 5 through 8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found then in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Corinthians lacked this kind of an attitude, as do many today in many churches today. And the result is always devastating. So I'm going to leave you with three things. Now, if you're in 1 Corinthians, I didn't get there yet, but you're probably already there. I'm going to give you three things that we can learn from this portion of Scripture. The first thing we can learn is they failed to recognize the unity they have in Christ. Now, we can be unified, and although we have different likes and tastes and different colors here today, we can still be unified in Christ. In Christ is where we find our unity. And we certainly do need his help in that area. God has given each of us special gifts. And Paul reminded the Corinthians that Christ's body is one, but it has many members. Each member is baptized by the Spirit into the body at the time of salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. You see, they were in Christ. It was more important to know their unity in Christ. You see, each and every one of us are meant to function in a certain way that God designed us. We've all been given a unique personality. Our personalities are all different. Our physical attributes are different. Our mental capabilities are all different. It's interesting when you meet certain people, there are certain things they can remember. Some people are good with figures. Other ones aren't so good with figures. Some people are amazing with certain traits, and they're weak in other traits. Those traits where they find themselves weak, there are people who are strong in those traits, but weak in other traits. God didn't give us all the same traits. That's why we need one another. We need one another. Because God didn't give us all those wonderful traits. So, he has given us special gifts, specifically chosen by the Spirit, verses 4 through 11. So if you have it there, just follow after there as I begin to read verses 4 through 11. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God, which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit's given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. You see, it's this way that God equips the church. There are various ministries that he has given, and he has given them to accomplish his works effectively. He can be very effective if you're using the gift that God's given you. And you've been all given gifts. Some of you are not using your gifts. Some of you are. But there's some that you're not. Pastor, what's my gift? I don't know. You'll have to ask the Lord what your gift is, but I know you got one. I know you have one because he said you do. You all have a gift. Doesn't matter how old you are. Y'all possess a gift. I'm hoping as you get older, you'll use your gift and be very good at your gift. But I know he's given you a gift, and he wants you to use it in the church. And so the first thing is, well, they needed to recognize the unity they can have in Christ. We need to be unified in the church. We can have all kinds of ideas about certain things, but we certainly can have unity in Christ. We certainly know that Jesus is Christ and Lord. We certainly agree on that, don't we? And so thereby is our unity. We can be unified in our theology. Some churches aren't even unified in their theology. Some of them are battling the idea of whether Jesus was God. That's sad to me. A church that don't even know if Jesus was God, he was just some special prophet like Muhammad. That's sad. Unfortunately, that's true in some churches. The second thing, some of the Corinthians have felt very insignificant, not important. Now, I know in this church, there are some of you that feel like you're just a bump on the log. You haven't discovered what your gift is. You're not operating in it. And you feel insignificant. What's your purpose? What's your design? Why are you here? What's your function in the church? Now, not all functions, such as exhorting like you're seeing me do, not everybody's called to exhort. You're not all called to do that. Some are. And just because I'm called to exhort doesn't make me more important than you. You see, my gift isn't more important than the gift that God's given you. You see, on that level, we're all the same. We're all on the same playing field. My gift isn't more important than yours. Your gift is as important as mine. Now, let me help you illustrate that. Paul gave us the body as an example. The eye can't say to the hand, hey, I'd rather be a hand. Wouldn't I look good with all hands? A body with all hands shooting out. What member of your body would you like to do away with today? Hey, if I send a piece of paper around, I want you to put down what member of your body you'd like to do away with today. Got quiet in here. Why? Do you want to keep the members of your body? Well, what if we just start with a toe? Come on. Nobody will ever see it's missing. Who would be the first one to come up here and we'll take your toe off? Any volunteers? All about a finger. You can put it in your pocket. Nobody will know the difference. And nobody knows that I don't have any fingers. Why do you want to keep your finger? Because they're important, aren't they? Okay, did I make my point? Every one of you are important. Everyone. Don't you ever think you're not important. Don't you ever think you're insignificant. You're very important, and we need you. Because you're special. I think about people that I'm told I have diabetes. And I know that there's been people that had to lose a toe. I know one that had to lose his feet. I know that he had to sign papers to approve someone to take his feet. You know, it's not the first time that I'd heard that. When I was working at Hall's Motor in Williamsport, there was a driver. I can picture him trying to remember his name. I think it was Fritz. His first name might have been Fritz. I don't remember the problem, what it was, but I just know he came and told me that he was going to the hospital and he had to sign papers for the doctor to take his feet off. I said, wow. I don't remember asking him any questions about it. I just know that the next time he came into the driver's office, he said, hey, Roger. I still have him. I said, how'd that work out for you? He said, when I came to in the hospital, he said, the first thing I did was I threw the covers off and I looked down to see if I had my feet. I can't imagine going through that, but one has gone through that. Every one of you are important. Do you get the message? You're important, no matter how old you are. You're important. You're special. You were designed by God. He loves you. He gave his life for you. Don't you ever feel that you're unimportant and insignificant. If you're here today and you don't know what your gift is, I'll pray that God will reveal it to you. Because the sooner you find out what it is and the sooner you can function in it, the sooner you'll be blessed by God. God wants to bless you. He loves you. He wants you to be happy and joyful. He wants to bless you. The Corinthians felt insignificant and unimportant. Instead of seeing the value of their spiritual gifts, they begin rating them according to what they thought was important. But I can tell you that God's eyes on every gift and every member is essential for the functioning of his church. And so Paul likens this situation here in chapter 12 to a foot claiming not to be part of the body because it wasn't a hand, verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? But a foot is essential, whether you see it or not. The same is true for those that have less prominent gifts. And just because you're not up here preaching doesn't make you any less valuable or unneeded. And thirdly, the Corinthian church had some that had an overinflated view of themselves. They thought they were more important than somebody else. They thought their spiritual gifts were more important. Some of them bragged that they spoke in tongues more than anyone else. The Apostle Paul said, I speak in tongues more than any of you do. Yet in the church, it must be by interpretation, so that the body can be encouraged and God can be glorified. Not one gift is more important than another. Now, I was raised in a Pentecostal church. Of course, they thought the baptism of speaking in tongues was more important than anything. Paul says, not so. All gifts are of equal value. Pray for God to give you the best gift. What's that? The one that God wants you to have. That's the best gift. But he does compare it to faith, hope, and charity. Those are the greatest gifts. Though I speak with the tongues of men and have not love, I have nothing. You know what he said? He said that in the previous chapter. In the next chapter. So some of them had an overinflated view of themselves. They thought they didn't need anybody else in the church. Paul said, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Can you imagine what would happen if your body parts started to act independently of one another? How do you think you'd walk if your leg and foot were trying to go in opposite directions? Well, it's the same way in church. When somebody decides to have their own way, you have nothing but chaotic and dysfunction. It happens when members of the church think too highly of themselves and they begin to act independently and they begin to discount the contribution of others. And with this independent spirit, it does nothing but wreak havoc in the church. When some members choose not to use their gifts, maybe they have feelings of inadequacy or perhaps indifference. The church is robbed of what God placed them there to contribute. We are robbed because you're not willing to use your spiritual gift. You're robbing us. Do you want to rob somebody? Oh, no, I don't want to rob anybody. Not me. Well, then use your spiritual gift. Start using it, because you all have one. Hello? Are you still with me? Come on, Bill, raise your hand. I'm teasing him. Somebody called him Bill. His name's Phil. When this happens, you can have a paralyzed body. You ever been around somebody that's paralyzed? Do you know there's a lot of churches that are working, that are trying to operate that way? They're paralyzed. They're not functioning the way God designed them to function. As a result, they come into church discouraged, and they go back out those doors discouraged because somebody didn't operate their gift. Somebody didn't share their gift. Because if you'd have shared your gift, they'd have been encouraged. They'd have been made happier. And they went out these doors happier and encouraged and ready to take on a new week. Every head bowed. When all the members focus on their common union with Christ and they follow him as their head and they use their individual gifts to serve one another and they do so with an attitude of humility and love, the church will function properly. Believers will be blessed and God will be glorified. And my prayer for you is that you will find your gift. Pastor Roger, you spoke to me. I want to know what my gift is. Put your hand up. Don't be ashamed. There, I see hands. There's hands going up all over. Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. Any more? Wow. Okay, you can put them down. Now I know why I needed to share this today. I thought it would only affect a couple people, but it pretty much affected the whole church. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, and I know why you laid this on my heart to share. I didn't realize there were so many that really didn't know what their gift was. Lord, I pray, and I pray that you will please reveal this, the gift that you've given them to them. Please make them aware of their gift. Lord, as soon as possible, so they can use this wonderful gift that you've given them, that they can use it here in the family, in this church, to encourage one another. Lord, that you can continue, Lord, then to bless their lives because they're working in the way that you designed them to work. They're using the gift that you've given them to be used in this place of worship. And I know you want to bless them. So, Lord, help them, show them, reveal to them, maybe in their quiet time or maybe there'll be a friend or somebody, a family member that will say, well, I know what your gift is. You're always good at this. You're always good at that. That's your gift. I know what it is. I've seen it. But Lord, these that haven't seen it, let them see it. Let a friend or a relative or Lord, let your Holy Spirit or your word show them their gift and the way in which they should be using it. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask these things. Everybody said, amen. Wow. Whew. I didn't know there'd be so many affected by this. Wow. Whew. God can do some wonderful and amazing things here. If you'll just let him.